It's 6:45. I'm Anthony Morneau with KRWG News. A federal agency says they will now retroactively perform FBI fingerprint checks on all employees at a temporary shelter for migrant children in Tornillo. Carlos Morales reports for Marfa Public Radio. He has more.
Health and Human Services says they're working as, quote, quickly as possible to go back and conduct FBI fingerprint checks on the current staff at a Tornillo shelter where migrant children have been held since June. HHS also says that going forward, they will do the same for future employees. As first reported by the Associated Press, the background checks first done at the West Texas facility did not involve fingerprint searches. Instead, a private contractor relied on name-based checks, which aren't as thorough and can result in false negatives. A government report found the name-based background checks done at Tornillo heightened, quote, the risk that an individual with a criminal history could have direct access to children. The temporary shelter currently holds about 2,300 migrant children. In West Texas, I'm Carlos Morales.
New Pew Research shows the undocumented population nationwide has dropped to its lowest number in a decade. Though most border states are seeing similar trends, Texas is the exception. Elizabeth Troval with Houston Public Media has more.
Texas' undocumented population inched up 3% over the past 10 years.
Nationally, we're seeing a decline in the number of unauthorized immigrants, but in Texas, the number was stable.
That's Pew researcher Devera Cohn. She told Houston Matters states like California, Illinois, and New York saw the undocumented population shrink from 2007 to 2016. That's partly because of a sharp decline in the number of unauthorized Mexican immigrants arriving to the U.S. Texas also saw a slight increase in the number of undocumented workers, though their overall share of the workforce was down.
Texas is also attracting U.S.-born workers and legal immigrant workers, and those numbers are growing more rapidly.
Cohn says economic opportunity is likely what's driving immigrants and others to come to the state. In Houston, I'm Elizabeth Troval.
Many across the globe are remembering President George H.W. Bush, who passed away last week. Commentator Walt Rubel says that the former president's death has him feeling nostalgic for the politics of the past.
The elderly couple in the matching sweaters looked like they'd been plucked from central casting to play the role of kindly grandparents. His silver hair was full yet neatly trimmed, as was his beard. Both were a tad bit plump, but seemed to be healthy and happy. It was the sweaters that bothered me. Trump 2020, they said in large letters. Then underneath, in smaller letters, was the kicker. Make the liberals cry again. As I listened to them speak cheerfully with the interviewer outside of the Trump rally, it was hard for me to imagine they would take pleasure in seeing anybody cry. But those sweaters perfectly sum up the state of our politics today. Aspirational goals and inspirational rhetoric are for suckers. Winner takes all. Losers cry. Last week, I read Stephanie Valencia's chapter in the new book, West Wingers, and it made me nostalgic. Valencia is an Oñate High graduate who went on to serve as a special assistant to President Barack Obama. She is one of 18 Obama staffers to write about their experiences in the book. Then, on Friday, former President George H.W. Bush died, and it made me even more nostalgic. I was reminded of the note Bush left in the Oval Office desk for Bill Clinton. It closes with this. You will be our president when you read this note. I wish you well. I wish your family well. Your success is now our country's success. I'm rooting hard for you. Bush was the only president among our last five to be denied a second term by the voters. He lost to Clinton following a tough, hard-fought election, and yet there was not a trace of bitterness in his note. I wish you great happiness here, he wrote. I never felt the loneliness some presidents have described. Later, after both men were out of office, Bush and Clinton developed a real friendship when they were tasked by then-President George W. Bush to lead a relief effort following a deadly tsunami in the Indian Ocean. The danger with nostalgia is that we tend to remember things more fondly than they really were. I didn't vote for either of the Bushes. I voted for Clinton the first time, then regretted it. I'm not suggesting that the respect and collegiality they showed for each other made them great leaders. Sun News columnist Algernon DeMassa noted in a piece last week that compromise is a mean, not an end. It doesn't ensure positive results. Our nation's history is filled with examples of leaders compromising their way to some truly horrific decisions. But our system of government requires two things to have a chance for success. Both sides must agree starting out as to what the goal is, and both sides must be willing to compromise in order to achieve that goal. When the goal starting out is to make the other side cry, we're in real trouble. With this week's commentary, I'm Walt Rubel with the Las Cruces Sun News.
While Rubel's columns appear in the Sunday edition of the Las Cruces Sun News, Rubel's opinions are his own and do not necessarily reflect those of KRWG Public Media and NMSU.